All right, Holy God, we praise you for tonight, just being here with us and family. God, I thank you for the blood that holds us all together. Lord, thank you that we're not alone in this thing, and God, that we have you, and we have one another. And Lord, if we're open beyond having you, Lord, we can actually hear from you. We can actually walk in your ways, and we can be empowered by your Holy Spirit. And God, we can see supernatural things happen inside of us and our homes and families and our church and in our neighborhoods and in the nations, Lord, and we just want to be a part of that. God, we don't want to be a part of a consumerist church attending society. God, we want to be people that are the church, that breathe and live and die the gospel. And Lord, we long to see people saved. Lord, we long to see you do in others what you've already done in us and continue to do. And so, God, use us. That is our God, we, as a church, we gladly place ourselves on the altar of your will. And Lord, we know it's not for everybody, Lord, but it sure is for us. God, we want to be all in. Every single one of us, Lord, we want to be all in for your glory. So, God, we just lay ourselves out there and ask that you would do what it is that you long to do in us, because we long to obey and walk with you because of your gift of your son, Jesus. And so there is no price beyond anything that we wouldn't want to give up, Lord Jesus, for your kingdom. And so, Lord, we pray that you come and lead us tonight. I thank you for speaking to us and the leaders of this church. We thank you that you are the shepherd, and we are just under-shepherds. And, Lord, we just follow after you. So, God, be with us tonight. We just ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. And so, been praying, and you guys know that I've been, talking lately about the Lord speaking. And the other day, I think I told some of you a story where as God led these things on my heart, and I shared them with the leadership guys. But before I even did that, I kind of prayed for God to confirm things in my heart. And I told you that kind of wacky story about that buddy of mine calling me an hour later after I'd had that prayer. Like, God, I prayed, God, show me if this is in your will and if where we're moving is in your will. And then this guy I know is a very cool pastor, a friend of mine in town, real godly man, really full of the Spirit, texted me and said, hey, I had this dream about you. I'm supposed to share it with you. I think it's from the Lord. And so we went and ate, and he shared with me and just confirmed a bunch of cool stuff in us. And so tonight, there's three essential things. Some of you might leave, like, extremely disappointed. And so I wish I had some, like, rad, we've got $1 million and you're all going to Europe together. What we're talking about tonight is our very fundamental things to the deepest core of our church. And so our heart's desire from the beginning is we've been called to be a church bringing the restoration of Jesus to the broken throughout the city and to the nations. And so we've had a good almost 9 years, guys, together, and God's done some crazy things. But I got to be honest with you, I'm not content. We want to see God move in bigger ways. We want to be used in bigger ways. We don't care about us being made us. We want the Lord to be made known big time. And so the three fundamental things tonight that we're talking about that the Lord has just kind of put on my heart to share with you and some changes, and I have a lot of stuff, so I'm going to whip through some and pay more attention to others. But so here are the three things we're talking about tonight. This is restored DNA. Everybody say DNA. We're going to talk about our discipleship structure, and we're going to talk about a restored church model, which is the bigger part of our evening together. And then we'll have a time of prayer, and you can go home and decide to leave the church and not come back next Sunday, which is your prerogative. And so tonight, the first thing we're going to talk about is restored DNA. You guys have heard some of this before, and so I'm going to whip through this, but we have kind of pointed and not dumbed down. We've centralized what it is that we want to reproduce everywhere we go. And so I've just put this in a format that's seeable, and you're going to see it on the walls. You're going to see it hopefully on the computer at home. These seven things that I want you to know about us and who we are. And so, I worked a long time on stupid graphics, and I don't like it at all. If you know my brain this week, I've spent like 20 hours just jacking with stupid stuff. But the core of it is this, is that there's our DNA of restored. And we're going to go through all of these. It's proclaiming God's word. Living by the Holy Spirit, which is, I was rebuked by my spiritual father the other day when I took him my 6 DNA structures of restored. They were pillars. Now they're DNA. I've changed them. And he said, well, why don't you have anything about the Holy Spirit? You're Holy Spirit church, aren't you? Okay. And so, which created me to add that, worship, prayer, discipleship, restoration, and multiplication. And so those things are our DNA. And so to start this evening, just going through what these mean a little bit, when we say these are the seven things that we stand for, number one is proclaiming God's word. Everybody say proclaiming God's word. And so we proclaim the authority of God's word. We boldly and without apology preach and teach the Bible and live to be doers of the word. And so why is this fundamental to us? Because we want to live and die by God's word. Amen. I hope you hear that in the pulpit. I hope you hear that in your life groups. I hope you hear that in discipleship. We are unashamedly people who preach the word of God. And so that means you being a part of the church or someone that lives unashamedly by the power of God's word. We don't water down anything. If the scriptures say something is sin, we walk in grace. We love people, but we call things sin. We don't back down. We don't drop around for any of that. Amen. And so 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, exhort, and with complete patience and teaching. We just believe in the word of God. And so that's when we talk about the word of God. Number two, living by the Holy Spirit, which was assumed. I didn't miss it on purpose. I just got a little ahead of myself. And so most people will see this and they go, ha, it's a Pentecostal church. Well, we are not necessarily a Pentecostal church. This is not what I mean. And so what I mean by this is that we believe, everybody say we're charismatic. We're charismatic in our worship and structure. We believe in the gifts, but beyond that, the gifts are made for the edification of the church. Amen? There is more to it than the edification of the church through our gifts are we talking about. We are talking about living and dying by the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, but the helper of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We long to live our lives being led by the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. I am tired of Rob Dan's living. You hear what I'm saying? I am tired of trying to do this thing on my own. And the scriptures are clear that as a church, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and we need to obey and follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? I know you're bored. We'll keep going. Number three, worship. And so as you can see it restored, we love worshiping Jesus. Amen? And so this is just a part of our DNA. We lift the name of Jesus high through worship. We are a people of praise who are hungry for the presence of God, and we desire to add elements of worship to everything we do. I don't know if you know this, but every leadership meeting we do, every side meeting we do, sometimes missions team meetings, we add the element of worship. Because we believe coming before the Father, getting right with Him, giving Him praise and glory helps us set our minds on the things that are right. And so we are just people of worship, and all these things will come into play later. Next one is we believe in the power of prayer. This isn't really an important one, so we'll just move on. Jesus is our source, and we long to seek His will and communicate with Him as people of prayer. We desire for prayer to be in everything we do, and we are intercessors for His kingdom. And in Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're supposed to pray all the time. Amen? And so we want to be known as a church of prayer. Everybody say amen. Next, discipleship. We are disciples who make disciples. And this is why I put these on here tonight, is that when I go through the other stuff, these seven things are going to be core to everything we do. Discipleship is the purpose of this church. Honoring Jesus, worshiping Him, and the way we do those things more than anything is we fulfill the Great Commission. Amen? That we go and we make disciples, right? Teaching them to obey, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose of you being here, whether you're new or been here for 10 years, is that we want to see you discipled to be more like Jesus so you can turn around and train up somebody else to turn around and train someone to be like Jesus. Amen? If you're going to church and that isn't happening, that is not being the church. The whole core of the church in honoring Jesus is to disciple people. It's clear in the scriptures. And so we are disciples who make disciples. We are following after Jesus with all of our lives, and we will train generations of men and women to train generations of men and women to live for Him. Hallelujah. Next one, restoration. This is a big part of our DNA. We believe, how many people in here have been restored by the blood of Jesus? More of you should raise your hands. This is chump. Okay, restored DNA, restoration. We are the restored that bring the restoration of Jesus to the broken. We are living proof that Jesus can restore anyone from anything, and we long to seek after others that desperately need His restoration. And y'all should know 1 Peter 5:10 by now if you've been to this church for more than a few weeks. And so restoration, if people say, what is your thing? What separates you? Well, scripturally, nothing. But we have a poignant purpose of finding people that are broken, don't feel like they can be anywhere else, don't feel accepted anywhere else, don't even know they need Jesus. Our heart dwells in the kingdom of God for them. We want to see, you know my spiel, hookers, crack addicts, soccer moms, business guys, whatever it is, we want to see gangsters, all of them, restored in the name of Jesus. And then not only restored, restoration is only halfway complete when you find someone and their lives become better. They are supposed to be set free, filled with the Holy Spirit in freedom, and then actually go back in, that's us, to see restoration brought to other people. Amen? And so, and by the way, at this point also, you being restored restorers, none of the rest of the stuff we talk about tonight works without that. So amen. So we are restorers. Everybody say restorers. And then multiply, and this is the thing that's been burning on my heart, is that we work to see a harvest of new disciples, missions, and churches. We share the good news of Jesus boldly, give our lives to missions and church planting, and there's the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm screwing my translations up. And so that guys, those seven things, these things are the core of what we do and who we are. What we're doing is we're trimming the fat of a lot of things. And I've asked all of our ministry leaders in our last leadership meeting is, I want you to go through Restored Kids. I want you to go through Restored Worship. I want you to go through the prayer ministry. I want you to go through the tech ministry. And I want you to line out your entire ministry based on these parameters. We are cutting the fat. So hopefully your kids are going to learn this in their language. Hopefully, right? Hopefully the tech team, when they look at this, this isn't like something like how can the hospitality team have anything to do with this? So what are you talking about? All of this has to do with what the hospitality team does. They are proclaiming God's word by living it when they greet people at the door and they love on people when they come in. And I can go on and on and on, living by the Holy Spirit, praying for people as they walk in. These are the paradigms of our church. These are the things that I want you to get to know. These are the things that our ministries will now be cut into this little box and paradigm. Amen? Any arguments with any of those? File them in the can over there. Good. So as we move on, a couple of things on my heart beyond these things is one is our discipleship. And so, as you know, discipleship, as we talked about the Great Commission already, Jesus says to do what? Go make a lot of converts and have a 300-person baptism service. Well, not boo. That's a good thing. We don't necessarily boo that. Jeez, man. You must be an elder on sabbatical, brother. Jeez. And so I've been thinking about our discipleship, and so here's our desire, is that we would not just provide discipleship as a church, but birth a discipleship movement. Everybody say discipleship movement. And so the foundation of a discipleship movement, do you guys understand what offering discipleship is and versus a discipleship movement? Like our heart's desires, like overseas and in different places, like if you look through the New Testament, Paul would go and share the gospel with people. They would receive the gospel, and then they would immediately begin to share what they learned with other people. And the thing about a movement is, we're going to talk about church plant movements and discipleship movements, is you can't control it. And this has been a big issue for us. Discipleship movements are something that we have paradigms, but it goes out of control because we are just being faithful to what God has called us to be. And so the foundations of a discipleship movement are, discipleship should be simple. Everybody say simple. If you are taking a new believer through some orthodox theology, guess what's going to happen to them? Tell me when you see Jesus teaching in the New Testament how difficult he got with stuff. Hey, I see you've given up a lot of stuff. Give up your cash. Come follow me. The kingdom of heaven is like this field. There's like these four soils. What I'm saying is this. Jesus taught simply and showed them in big applicable ways how to follow him. And so discipleship making should be highly reproducible. And this is what I think some of our stuff has become. Everybody say cumbersome. You're going to see cumbersome up there a lot. I don't even know if I spelt it right. I don't use the word a lot. For some reason, I felt like saying cumbersome. Discipleship is only done with people who are hungry and faithful. Discipleship all throughout the scriptures and any kind of discipleship that means anything that changes are people that actually want it. And I think in a long time, in the early years, I think we really got grinded down with trying to make people want to be disciples. They didn't mean they don't love Jesus. It didn't mean that they weren't good people. It meant that they weren't ready to be disciples. And what happens in that is that you start wasting a lot of time trying to do something. You can mentor someone, walk through them, but making disciples, I've sat at tables with 10 guys at a time pouring my heart into them, all new believers. I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this, 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 and they all walk away, and I was crushed. I'm giving us new license to no longer be crushed by people's inability to follow right now. You know what I'm saying? This is the way church plant movements work and discipleship movements work. You find people who are hungry, and you disciple them. And people that are not hungry, you give them grace, and you allow them to respond when they need to respond. And so what if you have 10 people and only one guy wants to commit to discipleship? Praise God, that's actually really good numbers. Amen. The focus should be on growth personally, obedience to the Lord, and evangelism. Now, if you want to talk about some things that hit me up, we'll talk about this more in a minute. Everyone is trained to be a trainer. And so you as a disciple, as you look at your neighbor, you are not a disciple of Jesus until you are being able to go out and do what the Great Commission says. The Great Commission says, go and make disciples. If you are really good at reading Scripture, if you're really good at praying, if you're really good at reading the Bible, I mean, as teaching the Bible, but you don't share the gospel of Jesus Christ with anybody else, and you don't teach somebody else how to walk with Jesus, you are not an all-in disciple. Now, this is grace. There's grace on this. I'm not saying, hey, new believers, don't be schmucks, and you got to go disciple somebody right now. What I'm saying is the thing that we're all trying to get to is that we are disciplers of disciples, that we are discipling disciples. Amen? And so the whole point is people in my oikos, in my family, they need Jesus, and I am the one that is supposed to share Jesus with them. Amen? And so here's some of the things. And so I'm going to get down right, and this is more on me than it is on you. Here's some assessment of our discipleship. Number one, we have great relationships going on inside of our church. Amen? Some of you guys are so dear and near and loving each other. It's awesome. Restoration is happening. Amen? Believers are maturing. Amen? All two of you. Just kidding. Some new generations are being formed. And so those are the things today that I was praising God for that we're doing really well in discipleship. Here's something that I keep coming back to on me is like our reproduction is very slow. And so some of that is we've tied it over the years to we've tied it over to the years to just the kind of folks we are. It takes a long time for some of us to be restored. Amen? And it takes a long time for some of us to be ready to be there. And that's okay. Cumbersome curriculum. So our curriculum monster is like this enormous machine of books and things and stuff that never actually got finalized. Low evangelism focus and a small number of generations. So here's something I'm convicted about with my guys. I will come in and I'll ask them, how you doing with porn? How you doing with lust in your eyes? How you doing with how you're talking to your wife? How you doing with this, 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 and this, and this? And I am dead serious. And if they tell me I'm not doing well, then I will, you know, I'll try to help them through it. They can be pulled out of ministry. They can all these things. I will take actions to help them to get in line with what they're supposed to be doing. When it comes to evangelism, which I know is the hope and the light of the Scriptures, I'm easy on them and myself. Have you reached out and shared Jesus with anybody lately? No, not really. Okay, try better. Try better? Is that even a word? Is that a sentence? Try harder. Betterer. Try betterer. And so a small number of generations. And so these are things that are on my heart big time that have been completely eating at me over the number of the years. And so as far as discipleship moving forward, here are some of the things. Sorry that my thing's hanging off there. This is what some of the changes we're going to make to our discipleship. And so simple discipleship material with tools for self-growth, centered on simply and faithfully applying the Scriptures to our lives. Man, I would sure like for you guys to read a lot less and apply a lot more. Can I say that? I would sure like for you to study a lot less. And somebody's going to say, did he just say don't study the Scriptures and study the Bible and study the... No. What I'm saying is, how much emphasis is on you reading versus how much emphasis is on you applying? Man, this thing will hit me today when I was leaving the gym. I just felt like the Lord say, obedience, faithful obedience to God's words and little steps fuels the fire of faith. You hear what I'm saying? When I say yes, and the guys and I just started doing this in discipleship last Thursday, what are three things I want to do today that are different than yesterday that I can do to honor Jesus on purpose? Number one, how am I going to treat my wife and my kids? What can I say to my wife today or my kids today that would honor the Lord and encourage them? What can I do at work today that would honor somebody, honor the Lord, and it would help somebody and encourage them? What's something I can do today with somebody that's lost? Pray for them, share the gospel, ask to pray. Simple things will change and rock the world of us who have grown stagnant. Simple things apply. And so we have implied this over the years, but we really want to push this in our discipleship structure. This is what I love. Another thing about some of the stuff I've been studying is I would sure like to see us have more groups versus one-on-one. Jen, how many people are you discipling right now? 10 or 11. How many of you other people have many, many, many discipleship appointments a week where you get very overdone and fried? Anyone? Just Jen. Good. I know that's not true. And so, anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute. Training trainers, foundation of growth and growing for the kingdom, learning the process together. And this is the thing that I wanted to talk to you about. This is T4T and Discovery Bible Study. And this is not it. Here's the simple thing I'm saying. It's like I'm going to tweak our discipleship so less of you are burning out and more of you are getting involved. And it's simple and easy tools to see restoration and come into people where you can train somebody, and then they can immediately turn around and train somebody else. Immediately. And so these are the things. Like, discipleship is our thing, but how many of you have looked at our discipleship process and go, man, this is a cumbersome monster, and we're not seeing a whole lot of fruit? We are up to like three or four generations of people, but that has taken us 9 years, and the people who are first and second generations are absolutely fried. How many would confess to that? Anybody in here? Okay, good. Me, myself, and I again. Maybe I was just thinking about myself. Maybe that's kind of normal, isn't it? And so I've been studying, and there's these two tools that we're going to start using. One is called Training for Trainers. Everybody say Training for Trainers. And everybody say Discovery Bible Study. And so I'm not going to go into a great detail with this, and these are just something over the next few months that we're going to work on together. But it kind of goes like this. It cuts up your meeting into what they call three-thirds. And I'll get you books and stuff. It's really simple, and it looks like a lot when you first look at it. And some of you might already know about this. This T4T thing, it's just a series of questions on how to spend your time on how to make disciples. But it's working. There's 17 million people in India, one of the greatest, fastest-growing discipleship church plant movements on the face of the earth, using these simple things. And so here's the problem with what we're talking about. It's like it is counterproductive to our society. You hear me? Most people in our society do not want to be thoroughly discipled and disciple somebody else. And the only problem with that is the scripture. And so we as a church, and this has been one of our things over the years, that we have been so adamant about discipling people that we have lost a lot of people because of that fact and because the preacher's a schmuck and elders are weird and all that kind of stuff. Amen? And so we'll talk about this as time goes, but literally you cut your time up into three pieces. And there's these seven things: pastoral care, how are you doing, you worship together, loving accountability, casting vision, which is basically just breathing life into somebody and encouraging them. The next part is called look up, short-term, new lesson. You go through short lessons with big emphasis on, from the scriptures, on big emphasis on what? Applying them. And then part three, look ahead, practice the lesson, and set goals and pray for each other. So it looks like this. Hey, we just read Luke 4. What are some things that you got out of here? What do you think the Lord's saying? And then the next part of this is, what is your plan to actually live that out in the next 7 days? And then let's come back together in 7 days from now, and let's just talk about what God did when you did that. I'm talking about simple, small things that are going to change the face of our hearts if we're all in. So you hear what I'm saying? And so that's kind of what's up with the discipleship stuff. Any questions about that? Everybody ready to start doing it tomorrow? By the way, this isn't starting tomorrow. So here's the pod of this whole thing is church model. And so this is the big thing I have been hinting at for the last number of weeks and months, and all the other things we talk about fold into this situation. And so here's Restored's heart on churches. Our heart is that we would be a church plant movement bringing the restoration of Jesus to the cities and the nations of the world. That is no duh. Well, I cannot tell you enough how clear it has been from the beginning that we are called to be men and women filled with the Holy Spirit that actually start a church plant movement that sees churches like this put all over the face of the earth for God's glory to see the most broken brought to Christ. Hear what I'm saying? People out of jail, Dalits in India that have no hope without Jesus. We're talking about gangsters in cities. We're talking about Dallas. We're talking about Wichita. We're talking about Kansas City. And up till now, nobody on the ice outside would believe it or care. And I don't care. All I know is what God has said and what God is going to do. The only thing that pertains to that is you have to get actually integrally involved in the process. Because I am not crafty enough. I don't know if you've noticed, hard preaching, I think Rick said it the other day, he called me an old-time preacher, which I think was a compliment. And so, I'm just kidding, I know that was a compliment. Old-time preaching, so we preach hard, right? We deal with big issues, we're very transparent, and we're very big on discipleship, and we're very big on people getting out of their sin. Those five things do not spell megachurch movement. You hear what I'm saying? But it's happening in the scriptures, it happened. It's happening all over other places of the world, so it has to be possible. Has to. So our heart's desire has always been this. This. Amen? That's old time. I didn't even say anybody's going to hell. Somebody in here is going to hell. Don't. And so, but I don't know, but I believe that the last 8.5 years of our preaching and teaching and fumbling forward together has prepared us for this season. Like, this is God's desire. Is that we would be the church, not I. We're not going to grow by explosive growth, by people just showing up because we have rad programs. It's just not going to happen. And if it does, it honestly would be harder for us to deal with than a blessing, maybe. I don't know. I'm not the Lord. But here's the deal. If you want to know what keeps me up at night and that fuels the heart of our elders, and when we sat in my living room 10 years ago praying about what God was going to do, it's this. And so it's a blessing, and it's also been the hardest part of doing church because it's taking a long time. Amen? And so here's a definition of a church plant movement. A church planting movement is a rapid multiplication of indigenous churches planting churches that sweeps through a people group or population segment. Just let me say that a church plant movement is a movement of normal, everyday people being saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit falling on them, and them starting to reproduce the church everywhere they are. That is what a church plant movement is. And it's something that you can't control. And so this has always been our desire. And so here's the deal. There are three kind of church models in the world, all right? So there's house church. Anybody in here ever been a part of a house church? I knew you were weirdos. I know. Okay, all right. House church, community church, which is us, and then a mega church. And so as we walk through some of the differences on these churches, and so here's pros and cons of all three of these models. You tracking with me? Number one, let's start with the house model. And these are just my humble opinions about stuff, and they are not an exhaustive list, so nobody get offended. Here's some pros to house model. Intimate settings, great atmosphere for discipleship, not cumbersome. Don't have to worry about money. Don't have to deal with a lot of stuff like that on the outset. Here are some of the cons of what I've seen about house churches. Number one, they can be without biblical headship. I remember talking to a guy one time when house churches were getting real sexy about 15 years ago in the United States, and he's like, yeah, man, we don't deal with any stuff you deal with. I'm like, well, who's the elders of your church? Who's pastoring you? Well, we're all kind of pastoring. I was like, really? Does that fall in the scriptures? And so I had these discussions with these guys. There were no headship, accountability, no nothing in the way the scriptures line stuff out. And also they can become very insular and so stuck on inside themselves, and they're often alone in community. By the way, if there's typos, it's me, so don't be surprised. Community church, here's pros. Offer greater opportunities to serve. Usually have a staff pastor, more shepherds as elders and deacons. Offer programs for members, public worship services, beacon location in a neighborhood. I always think about Lighthouse when it came. Tornado hit the south side a couple years ago in Lighthouse. Lighthouse was there. I mean, in Oaklawn, Lighthouse was there like a boss. They became the central place. People knew where it was. They flocked to the church to get help and to know Jesus. So those are some of the benefits. Here's some of the cons. Can be limited in resources. All the restoredites say amen. The pastor to member ratio can be overwhelming. Limited areas to grow in leadership and gifting, and fatigue in leadership. Here's why. In the suburbs, they say that it's one pastor, paid pastor, for every 200 people. In the urban church, I believe that that is horribly wrong. In the urban church, it's like one guy for 50. And I'm literally talking about because of the issues that we deal with and some of the brokenness. And so a lot of leaders in urban churches and community churches are very tired. And I just know some of them, and I happen to be one of them. And so these are some of the pros and cons of this. Now, megachurch, there's no cons to a megachurch, right? So pros are large amount of believers in one setting, numerous programs and educational opportunities, seeker-friendly. Cons, and we always, in urban church, we always beat up mega churches. But anyway, I'm not trying to do that. Too large for purposeful shepherding and discipleship. People come in and out unnoticed. Can be obsessed with seekers and not enough depth for members and financial hurdles. Once you build a $20 million building, you have to upkeep a $20 million building. And if your membership sinks, guess what? You're leasing out space cheap to Restored Community Church. Or for free. Amen. And so here are some of the things I tried to assess us. And by the way, assessment is a good thing. Amen. To review what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong are not bad things. And so don't take that as any of this. But here's what I think we're doing well. Restoration is happening. Family atmosphere in this church more than any other church I've ever seen in my life. Preaching truth. Strong worship. We have a discipleship focus. We are sustaining a staff member and facilities. We are feeding the poor and helping the sick. We are training leaders with Tumi, and we have a pastoral care church with elders and shepherds and elders in training. Would you all agree with most of those? Amen. Here's the things that I think we're needing work in. We are declining in numbers of baptisms. Does anybody notice this? We were a baptizing machine back in the day, and there's this rule of thumb, like if you, in the first 3 years of a church plant, or it's the most prosperous years, and by year 10, if they're not going up, they're going to decline and die. And so we are in year 8 or 9, and we have declined. And I don't think we're on the verge of death by any means, but our outreach and new faces in here being saved, I'm not talking about church transfership or anything like that. Those are good things, but I'm talking about new baptized believers is sparse. That should haunt us all. That should bug us. Amen? Fatigue within leadership and ministries, overwhelm dealing with brokenness, holla. Low evangelism focus and over dependency on leadership. And so let me give you this, and some of this is my fault. And so once you go through junk, what happens? You hold on really tightly to stuff because you're trying to make it through to the other side. Amen? And then the end of that, what happens was when you come out on the other side, you don't want to let go. And so after dealing with 9 years of us going through hell on high water here together, amen, good times and bad, I think as the leadership team looked around and were like, wow, we have a really tight grasp on some stuff around here. And so honestly, when I think it comes into this, I think that some of you are new and you're doing awesome. Some of you are serving like a Dickens and some of you are hiding behind the leadership. Some of us in here are not moving ahead because I'm not asking you to. There are not avenues for you to do it. You know what I'm saying? There are not too many places for you to come up underneath there and go jump into something new. I'm not asking you. I'm not saying, Jerry, what is something on your heart that you want to go lead and do? And so when I see these kind of things, what happens in the end is people become complacent and they don't ask anymore. And they just show up on Sundays and Wednesdays and serving faithfully. But I think in the end, we become dormant a little bit because we're not being asked to step out and to do something new in our faith. Amen? No, I don't like that one, Pastor. So here's our big change. So this is where we feel the Lord moving us to deal with some of these problems. I believe that we are called and leading towards becoming a hybrid church. Everybody say hybrid church. And so as I've been praying over the last couple months and reading a lot and studying a lot, I really feel the Lord moving us towards a community church and house church movement. And let me explain what that means. Combining the good of both models to give us every opportunity to grow and have oversight while handing the church over to more of the body, allowing the Holy Spirit to move. Can I read that again? Combining the good of both models to give us, by the way, both models is assuming we're not going for the mega church model. Was everybody in here not tracking with me? Because I should have put that on there. Okay. I don't have enough money to wear that nice of shoes. Combining the good of both models to give us every opportunity to grow and to have oversight while handing the church over to more of the body, allowing the Holy Spirit to move. So here's the thing. I cannot tell you enough, every single one of you, of how much that I and our leaders believe in you. A lot. Like we believe in every single one of, no matter where you are, what you've done, how much you've screwed up. And with that said, we have set ourselves up to be like, this is either in your hands or it's not. And if it lies back on me, we will always be stymied. See, because the Holy Spirit is in you as much as anybody else ever that's ever been up here. The Holy Spirit is in this church, not because of the pulpit, not because of the worship team, but because of you. Like, God has ordained all of you to be his leaders and ministers of reconciliation in the gospel, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to see the kingdom move forward. You. So we've been talking about that for years. And as I was trying to process, you know, I told you that God is really putting on my heart, like, hold loosely. Like, hold loosely. You hear me say that about 20 times lately. Like, the Lord is like, hold on loosely to some of this stuff because you have way too tight of a grip, Pastor. And so as I started looking at it, I was like, well, how do I literally put this back or in the hands of the church and I do what I'm supposed to do and not try to manage all this stuff? And so this is where I feel like the Lord is talking to us in a big way. So here's what I'm talking about. So we're going to have two facets of our church. Number one, Restored Community Church, the hub. Everybody say the hub. And by the way, I'm one of those name guys, but it's going to take me 6 months to decide on a name I like. And so we're Restored Community Church, but I mean, what is this centralized thing called? And so here's what we offer here at Restored Community Church, the facility. Number one, Sunday morning services. You like those? Are good. You ever been to one? Good. Pastoral oversight, movement elders, restored youth, restored kids, Toomey, Freedom Ministries, which is Freedom Ministries. We're going to start this next year, coming out of bondage of some spiritual warfare stuff. Discipleship tools and materials, home-based, central location, having a central facility, a movement worship team, a missions team, centralized ministry teams, giving center, church planting, a church plant movement base. And so what this becomes, and a lot of this isn't totally different than what we've talked about in the past, it's just going to play itself out fully more than it has. So in our life groups before, our language was, hey, we have spiritual mom and dads, they're shepherding, they really are the church. And the problem was is that we raised the bar so stinking high that most people couldn't touch it, right? And the people that did touch it, who half the time probably shouldn't have touched it, were so burnt out after 7 or 8 years of doing small groups without anybody else taking over. That's our bad. That's our bad. That's my bad. But in this, is like, how on earth do we... So if you look at the New Testament, Paul does something exciting. Paul goes and evangelizes to a city. He shares the gospel, and then he leaves. And then a year later, he comes back and he ordains the same dudes he brought to Jesus less than a year later sometimes, ordains them as elders, and then he leaves again and then writes them letters to rebuke them, correct them, and oversee them. And so the premise here, if we look in the scriptures, is new believers were given authority in the church to live and die by the Holy Spirit. They were still oversought. They still had someone keeping tabs on them. They still had somebody rebuking them. I mean, Paul gets nasty, right? I wish I was there in the snub sun. And so Paul does this thing, but the cool thing is, like, he enabled the church to be the church in their places where they were, and he helped them and gave them oversight. He did not, and so here's what the problem is on the flip side, is we try to manage mischief so damage will be small. But sometimes when you overdo that, you can really cut down on the fruit of what God, you know, issues are a good thing. The entire amount of the epistles were this, hey, good job. Or, hey, quit being dumb. Stop that. Don't do that. That was dumb. Don't let that guy in your church. Hey, bring that guy back in the church. This is what Paul was doing. Those were dealing with issues that are good issues. And by the way, there are good issues in the church. When believers who are fueled by the fire of the Holy Spirit that are doing what they're doing and they're new, they do dumb stuff, right? And that's okay. By the way, Restored Leadership Team, how many of us learned by doing everything right the first time? Good. There's none of them left. That's a good indicator. Anyway, so in our two-part model, this is what we would love. We keeping our community church, this is the paradigm of the first step of this. This is where you become even more involved. And I know that some of you can't read a lot of these. I'm sorry. And so we want to move into this. As we stop life groups up here, my heart is that we would launch these things, house churches, but we're not going to call them house churches because they do have a bad connotation sometimes over them. But missional communities, or again, I'm trying to think up creative wording, but church and communities. And so restored church and communities, these things, CICs for now. I thought about calling them e-cigs, evangelical churches in, but I'm not going to call them e-cigs. It's kind of creative, isn't it? I mean, come on. E-6. Okay. But here's the thing, is like, this is what we want to do. We want to empower you guys to be leaders of a church. We want you guys to lead a church. And we'll talk about the who's and the what's and the when's, but this is our heart's desire, is that we would have ordained church and community shepherds and pastors. People who are in that home, it doesn't have to be your home, but there are shepherds in that home that are ordained shepherds. Ministry leaders in every group, just like our life groups, there's supposed to be a restored kids leadership leader person in there, a worship leader, and someone who does service projects. All those are roles in that small community. Restored DNA guidelines. Remember the DNA we went through earlier? This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to set up walls of the perimeters and say, hey, here's a wall, run like for nobody's business in the middle for God's glory. These are the paradigms you stay in, run, and how God leads you. And so, and then also have your own church and community vision. So you guys sit down with your small church and you say, what are we about? What is God doing in us? What is our vision statement for this group? And then optional days of the week. I don't care. Pick a day. You decide. You find the people in your area and in your situation where you guys have your group, and that is the day that you have. We know about it, obviously. But you guys pick. We don't have to all be on Wednesdays anymore. Free it up. If Tuesdays work, Fridays work. Just not on my birthday. All right. Approved studies. And so this is where some of the oversight comes in. We're going to yearly pick out number of studies that could do with marriage, could do with bondage, all these things, freedom from bondage, all these things, and have a number of things that you and your life group or your church and community, whatever it's called, is going to pick, and you guys choose what curriculum you're going through. If you guys want to do a marriage study, how many marriage studies have we done around here? None. And we had one, no, we did one sermon series on parenting, but I don't think we ever did a marriage series or study. Oh, we did. Oh, I'm so sorry. We had one. Never mind. I'm taking that off the board. But your group chooses, which is cool because if we have young adults in one group or stuff, you guys can really pick the stuff you want to pick. Dedicated community projects. And so like in life groups, which failed kind of, is that we would love for our church and communities to have one thing. Like Jared is an example. Jared and Andy are going to lead one if they do. They have a heart for miracles. They go to miracles once a month, and they serve miracles. They take the gospel to miracles. They bring them food. They do. I'm just using them as an example. Miracles is a recovery house that we've dealt with for years in ministry. But every church or community group will have one of these areas that they serve in every month and go love on people outside of their church. And so discipleship. We need to bring back discipleship to smaller numbers. And so as we get easier discipleship as in format, I would sure like discipleship to fold back into these church and communities. I think it's really rad to have spiritual mom and dads in a house, spiritually leading men and women in the house. You hear what I'm saying? Oikos focus, if you've never heard me talk about that before, I don't know where you've been, but literally the whole purpose of these groups is to be small, to find people that don't go to our church, in your family, in your neighborhood, at your job, that desperately need Jesus or a church family, and that becomes your point of focus. That's how we see new people come to know Jesus. 75 to 80% of people who come to Jesus come through friendship or family. If that's true, then evangelistic crusades, all those things are just in small percentiles of who sees the gospel spread. Amen? And so the purpose of that is oikos focus, smaller groups with a focus of growing. I would love for every one of our groups that starts out of here to be 6 people or smaller. That's nuts. At one time, Jen and I had 35 plus people in our house for life group. Some of you were there when all the kids showed up, when Benny showed up with like 16 random dudes, right? And so that was awesome, but it's very hard to manage. And so to make it easy, especially for some of you who are going to be a little timid, I would think it would be amazing to start out with a small number of people. And the whole focus of your small group is that you guys are going to reproduce and see new people come to know Jesus. Amen? Smaller groups with the focus of growing through reaching out. Restore and reproduce. That's the whole point, is that we want to see people restored. Restoration and reproduction is the point of your church. And what I mean by that is you want to see people restored from brokenness, but you also want to see it reproduced. You want to see people grow. And then the other part of this is commissioning of CICs. And so we want to actually have an official commissioning of these church and community groups. Like, we commission you. You guys are the people on 31st Street South, the Church of the Holy Beloved Pentecostal of Guadalupe's Mother Saints, something's church, whatever it is. But we also, how many of you have taken a life group leadership workshop before? Yeah, that was real helpful, wasn't it? And so we're also going to offer in the fall a new leadership training workshop for these groups before you start officially, so you have a little bit more stuff going on, and also a support shepherd, which basically means, like, every week, and I don't know if this is going to be Jimmy as he moves, depends on how well you guys move him out of his truck, but there will be someone designated besides me that is going to be checking on our shepherds every week and on your groups to see how they're doing. And the whole point of this is equipping you to be the church. Capiche? And so you ask, who can lead these groups? Because we're already chomping at the bit to lead, right? Those who are called. Number two, members of Restored Community Church. And here's why. Because we have a very clear, simple doctrinal statement. There's no way I'm going to let you lead Restored Community Church where you are not agreeing with our doctrinal positions. Amen? Oh, I know what Rob said, but that starts to cause division and dissension in the church. You hear what I'm saying? And so that's a must. And so beyond that, someone in discipleship, it's helpful if you're being discipled, and someone that is approved by the elders, and that's like a $62 fee, a test. Basically, just that the elders know you and know your heart. But here's the thing, it's like the leadership of Restored is holding loosely and believes in you. The Holy Spirit will move if you're willing to step up. So let me say this. For those of you who are saying, not me, I've already answered your question. Stop. Stop it. This is what not everybody's called to be a pastor, but everybody is called to be ministers of the gospel and to shepherd people. And so if you're saying, I'm not a pastor, that's what we pay you for, do your job. I'm saying, I am doing my job. I'm going back to the scriptures and trying to equip you to be the church. My job is to train you. My job is to equip you. My job is to support you, encourage you. That is my job. My job is not to be the church. Amen? You are the church. I'm literally just a piece of it. And so my job, and maybe something I failed in, is not turning you loose to be able to do what God has for you to do. And so some of you, and maybe not, maybe I've done such an amazing job and I'm just trying to be humble. I don't know. But here, what we're talking about is shepherding people, loving them in small numbers with help. Somebody helping you do it. An amazing opportunity to grow personally and to step out in faith. This is your opportunity to walk in the Great Commission. We'll walk with you and train you. Not everyone is ready. I know that. But here's what I do promise. For those of you who I say are not ready, I want to tell you why. And I want to walk with you and give you a game plan of how you can be. You hear what I'm saying? Of how you can be. So don't get offended. Don't get ticked off if I say, I don't know if this is your deal. I don't know if this is your time. You need to realize that we take this seriously. We are holding loosely, but there are some things that you have to walk through to be able to shepherd God's people. Amen? But we're not just going to presume that you know and figure it out on your own. We as a leadership, I as your pastor, want to tell you why and how I think God wants to restore you of that so you can grow. Amen? And then lastly, many of you are ready. And so I don't have to start calling names, but I will if I need to. But I'm thinking most families and couples in here in one way or another, whether you've led before or not. By the way, all of you who told me that you were interested in leading the life group, like, I'm considering you that you've already told me that you want to be church pastors. Amen. And so so let me tell you this again, guys. Like, we are literally hinging the future of our church on the Holy Spirit and you. You hear me? We are literally hinging the future of this church plant and church plant movement on you guys because we believe in you. And this isn't me just trying to get a break. I need a break, but this isn't it. This is my life. I was nervous getting up here talking about this stuff. This isn't easy, but I know that this is what the Lord wants. I've got to do this and do my job and not everybody else's job. And so in that, so you say, what's next, Pastor? So here's what we're doing. We're praying for the who, and I've already got a lot of you already lined out, just so you know. Identify leaders and locations. So we're actually going to call them Restore Community Church locations, where your house is. but we won't throw it on Facebook or anything like that unless you want us to. I'm going to be working on updating our group training to actually be church and community training. And then we're going to have in the fall classes. Improving, so there's a couple questions that are going to come up with this. Improving our restored kids groups. How many of you knew that we did not do a very good job with restored kids and life groups before? Amen. We are going to try everything we can to fix that. Amen? So if you don't know this, in the past when we've had life groups, we've had two-day-olds and 16-year-olds, and they were restored kids, which means they were spirited with lots of fervor. And so it became a nightmare because we didn't have right curriculum. We didn't have the right what's. People were like, oh, they're just my kids. Let them do their thing. That doesn't happen anymore. No more. We put as much emphasis on them on Wednesdays or whatever your night of the week is as we do with adults. And so Tammy and I are going to be working on curriculum and stuff to have on Wednesday nights. Also, mapping out our restored youth. Here's one of the big questions. It's like, when are we going to do youth? Do we move back to Sunday? Do we have it on Wednesday nights? It is, restored youth is not going away. Matter of fact, we believe restored youth is going to get stronger and better. Amen? So we're trying to figure out, Jimmy's coming. He's got some input about when to do restored youth and how to do it, but we're going to keep the same format, but they're also going to have their own small groups, and a lot of the stuff is going to apply to them. So groups will begin to meet in homes in September, but not as these churches. They start meeting in September as groups, life groups, pre-groups, in these new groups. And so what we're going to do with each other and to give me time and us as a leadership time is we're going to use the entire fall semester for adjustments and training. And so the whole fall, we're going to walk with each other. We're going to line out groups. We're going to line out locations. And then what we're going to do towards the end of the year is that we actually want to commission church leaders and groups. And we want to launch these church and community groups in January of 2017. So if you're wondering why I was teaching you the boring, I don't really care about our DNA, you should care about the DNA because the DNA is now on you. You hear me? What we believe in. So what I'm trying to do is set up all of these helps, all of these tools, discipleship stuff, to give you in your hand things where you go, okay, we can do this. And then we don't leave you. We walk with you step by step by step by step. We're simplifying our discipleship. That's going to be a process in itself and not so cumbersome. But in the end, you are the church. You lead churches. You are responsible through the Holy Spirit, like the scriptures say, to go into the nations, to see people baptized, teaching them to obey, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is what our heart's desire is. And so for me, I look at this and I go, ha! This is a very big deal. But in the end, man, I tell you as sure as day that the Holy Spirit is all over this thing. And so many of you guys, I'm just talking about simple steps. You with two or three other couples or singles meeting and talking and encouraging people and loving them like Jesus and teaching them how to multiply as we learn how to multiply ourselves. Amen? So with that said, I'm ready for your barrage, although I probably communicated so well that you're not going to be a single question. Questions. And so our core at first is not that everybody in this room automatically starts because that'll be a weird first night, right? How'd it go? Well, we were there. And so, like I said, not everybody's ready, and other people, and here's the funny thing, I'm not leading one. The Johnsons are not leading one. I believe the Yarnells, they are, and Lavenders are, Simmons, that we still haven't talked about that, but I'm not. And so what we can do is for a while is that I want to float and actually come by. When I show up to something on a regular occasion, I lead it. And so when I want to come around, I want to float, and I just want to help you and encourage you to do that. And some of our others, so like the Johnsons at first, until they're done healing and growing, whatever's going on, eventually, right now, they can become underneath somebody and help them grow that group and help them encourage them and teach them and train them. And so a lot of our families in here, I wish I could really start naming names. But I really believe that pairing a couple families to a few families together. And here's the cool thing is that I'm giving you complete license to fail. Hear me. I'm giving you complete license to screw this dog up. Amen. See? People are already excited about that. And this is what I mean. You know what happens if you set out with the right heart and you do this thing and nobody shows up and we stop in 3 months from now? You learned. You stepped out and were faithful. You were trying to honor Jesus, and God is going to teach you something in this so we can turn around and try again. Right? I mean, that's the whole point of this whole thing is we fail forward. That is our thing. This is how you do the kingdom of God. And some of you are so afraid to fail that you won't engage what God has for you. Except when you go and start acting in obedience to what God has for you, God, he just completely puts a spirit on you and fills you with new revelation. Some of you have stopped growing because you haven't taken the next step. And I guarantee you, when you start to lead and to supply what you've been given to other people, you grow. You change. You mature. You start to see things differently. Oh, I should have listened to Rob when he said that because this dude's not listening to me. Right? Not that that's ever happened. And so here it is, just to recap. We are talking about a complete structure change. I know, I believe for God's good. House churches that are not called house churches with a community church. And our goal is we want to launch these things all over the city. We don't have to get, you know, huge different buildings. We have one central location. Sundays, we come and worship during the week. So in the scriptures, this says two things. They met in homes daily and broke bread and devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. House churches. Number two is that they met on the first day of the week in the temples to worship God and devote themselves to the scriptures. Community church. Those are what we're doing. Those two things. Amen? And so this is it. It just depends on, and so I stop getting paid and my family goes hungry if you screw this thing up. I'm just kidding. And so back to the point is like I totally, Robin Russell and everybody else in here, I totally believe in you. And we want to see you win. I don't want the church to die. I want the church to grow. But I think in our current structure, unless we start getting a lot more seeker-friendly, which I can't even do without vomiting, is that, and you know what I mean by that. So I'm going to get an email about that. You got a problem with seekers, buddy? Jesus was after seekers. I know what you mean. But what I'm saying is we're not entertaining anybody. We are going to keep preaching the gospel. So Sunday, here's the key. Sunday mornings, we're going to do the best job we can. We're going to have clear worship, clear teaching, great Restore Kids ministries, youth stuff, all of these things. So there will be people that will be caught like that by that. And there will be other people that will be caught by what you're doing and want nothing to do with here. And we will merge the worlds together. Amen. So we're going to do the best thing. So restored worship leader here, he doesn't know this yet, but now he is the restored worship leader of our movement. His job is going to be helping supply house churches with worship and music. If you don't have a guitar player or a singer, he'll get you an accordion and a DVD, whatever you need. Amen. But listen, this is all the way around. Help with restored kids. Our purpose is not Sunday mornings only anymore. It is how do we help these church and communities grow what they're doing and minister to these kids. And so all of these things now become about the bigger movement. We are now a church plant movement, not a community church waiting to plant churches. We're going to plant 8 to 10 churches in a month. So here's what I would like for you guys to do. So this was it, and I know it's not a building. We don't have $1 million. Honestly, the building thing is still a go. I mean, we could be moving, and there's no. Just the Korean guys are taking their time because they got in a fist fight, and it's angry Korean fist fighting. And so it's not fist fighting. They were fighting Taekwondo. That's right. No, I don't think that's right. And so I know that some of you guys want to talk to me about this. Some of you guys want to talk to any of our leadership. Just come see me if you have questions. We want to go to lunch, have you over, whatever you want to do. But what we're not trying to change the church in a derogatory way. We're just trying to equip the church to be what God wants it to be. And I really feel this is from the Lord. Maybe somebody in here, and I'm just going to be blindsided by this, they're going to be like, I hate this, you're stupid, I'm leaving. And if you are, I mean, I love you, I'm sorry, but we're going to keep following what the Lord is doing. But this is our chance, guys, for the church to grow. And I just see it all firing with issues on cylinders. During the week, things are booming. People are coming to know Jesus. Groups are growing. Sunday, those people are showing up on Sunday. We have our corporate worship. I have heard so many times in the last few weeks, and Jen has too, people come in here and they say, man, I feel the Holy Spirit of God in this room. When you guys worship and teach, the presence of God is here. We don't want to lose that. We want to multiply that. But this can't be it. Sunday cannot be it. It's not. We can have this going 7 days a week through the city of Wichita and through the nations. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm going to give you the next 10 minutes just to cuddle up and pray. Just get up with a couple people. But I'm going to say a prayer and blessing over us, and then I'm going to let you guys break up in your groups for the next 10 minutes and pray. Holy God, we just come tonight, and man, Lord, I don't know. Maybe some people think this is just dumb or this doesn't pertain to them, but I guarantee you, God, it is your desire for them to know. And this is where you're calling us. God, this is unique. There's this isn't going around anywhere around here. It's not even popular. This is going to be tough. But Lord, we know when your Holy Spirit is in something, God, you're going to do it. Lord, our desire is for you to make yourself known and for your Holy Spirit to reign in your church and to see people in darkness brought into the light. And then not only then, but then be used again to repeat the process over and over and over and over again. Why not restore? Why not us to be a movement? Why not us to go to the nations? God, we believe and feel like you have called us to it. We've had confirmation lately in people's dreams and visions. Lord, we're going to chase after you with everything we have. God, we're not complacent. Lord, we're not okay with just being us. Lord, we want to be us all over the place because of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, come and lead. God, I pray that people that are being maybe resistant or hesitant or scared and don't think they can do this, God, just waylay them with your Holy Spirit. God, you are the equipper. You're the one who brings fruit out of people's lives. You're the one that convicts men and women. You're the one that leads people to be ready to be discipled. Lord, we just find what you're doing. Lord, we repent of trying to make this thing work on our own. Oh, we repent. I repent. But Lord, we hand this thing over to you again, to your church. And God, we pray that you would do miracles in our midst for your glory. That your church would grow for your name and your glory. And that we would see this city and other cities changed. Lord, I just pray over my brothers and sisters tonight. I pray that they know how much we love them and how much we believe in them. And how much even more you love them, and how much even more you believe in your Spirit in them. God, that you want to and are going to use them for miracles to change the city. So God, speak to us, speak to confirm this. I just pray a spirit of confirmation over this church, Lord, that you would just put on our hearts, God, if this is the right direction as a body and our leaders, you could give us dreams and visions of this thing and the people in this room. And then Lord, you would just make it clear as we move through these next 6 months to be ready for your glory. So God, come. Let's ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.